Thanksgiving is an expression of gratitude towards God. Offer unto God what? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. And pay thy vows unto the Most High God. When you do that, that is when it is acceptable. And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. So you see, thanksgiving itself has her benefits. When you bring thanks unto the Lord, he says, you have your guarantee of deliverance. So I say, number one, it brings deliverance. Number two, thanksgiving is a way of acknowledging God. When you do that, by thanksgiving, you will direct your path. Praise the Lord. It's a day of thanksgiving. It's a day of thanksgiving. And what is thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is an expression of gratitude towards God. An expression of gratitude towards God. So many psalms are written to this effect, but let's look at one. Psalm 50. Let's look at Psalm 50 and let's read it from verse 5. It says, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. By sacrifice. And one of the sacrifices we offer unto God is the sacrifice of praise. Amen. Listen very well. This is a problem with Christians. A lot of us, we serve God, but without the knowledge of how to walk with him. This God operates by principle. And we have tried as preachers, that is our duty, to teach you how to walk in these principles. And this, the knowledge of these principles is what is called revelation, otherwise known as faith. It says that the just shall live by faith. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Faith here is revelation. That is why Abel's sacrifice was accepted and Cain's sacrifice was rejected. Why? Because it is by faith. Hallelujah. What is faith? Revelation. Nobody told Abraham to pay tithe. By revelation, he paid tithe to a priest that he met on the way. It was not by a commandment. Revelation. Amen. Until you have a revelation of who God is, you will not even see the need to worship him. That revelation is the anchor. You are a Christian today and it is by religion you are finished. But if it is by revelation, upon that rock I build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail. It's so important we catch it. There is the sacrifice of praise. Why is it called sacrifice? It is called sacrifice, praise the Lord, because it is not an offering that is given from convenience. No. Anything sacrificial, it means it costs you something. Oh, glory be to God. What does praise cost me? It's not to open my mouth and begin to thank him and thank him and thank him. No. Now let me tell you, hallelujah, if you are going to praise God only for what good thing he has done for you, then what is the sacrifice there? But when you praise God, when you are hungry, in hunger you are praising God, it is a sacrifice. When you are sick, in that sickness you are praising God, it's a sacrifice. And it is a commandment. In everything, give thanks. It's a commandment. You have no food to eat, you are praising God. You are overdue for marriage, you are praising God. You have no money to pay your rent, you are praising God. You have just lost your job, you are praising God. Sickness is killing you. You are praising God. That is where the sacrifice is. Hallelujah. He said, gather my saints, verse 5, together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. When you do that, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. Listen very well. Why is he saying that? You think that it is enough. It is enough that you bring offering. You bring goat. You bring cow. You even build house. You build church. You do this, you do that. God is saying that he's going beyond that. You are bringing goat, O Israel. You are bringing rams. He said, verse 10, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, so it is not because God is hungry. That's why he's saying, bring sacrifice of goat and cow. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? What does he want? Is verse 14. Offer unto God what? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. And pay thy vows unto the Most High God. Unto the Most High. Praise the Lord. When you do that, that is when it is acceptable. And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So you see, thanksgiving itself has her benefits. When you bring thanks unto the Lord, it says, you have your guarantee of deliverance. You study this God. Amen. I hope you know that fasting is not a sacrifice. It's not even sacrifice unto God. Oh, how will I explain this? Oh, listen, I say it again. Is God interested in you being hungry? How does your hunger move God? People don't understand what fasting is. When you have problem, you now begin to go on a fast. I am not trying to remove fasting from your Christian life. Listen, I fast too. So I'm not condemning it. But listen very well. You want deliverance. Study this Bible so that, you know, these things are there for us to hold on to. God cannot deny his word. If it's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's the Lord and I never change. Then watch how he works and how his spirit came upon people to put down these principles. I say it again. Amen. Amen. Look at him. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. Did he say fasting there? Did he say any fasting there? What will he do? Say, I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. Amen. Therefore, there is something if you can learn here. Hallelujah. Offering unto God thanksgiving and paying the vows you have made will bring deliverance for you. Amen. It is thus said the word of God. Praise God. Amen. Okay, let me explain that, because somebody will say, I'm not talking about fasting. But since I dropped it, let me explain. When you fast, amen, every Christian is supposed to fast. The Bible says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and what will happen? He will exalt you. Now, in the Old Testament, when there is trouble and a king wants to come before God to call his attention, he will humble himself. He will pack dust and ashes and pour it upon himself. Imagine a king
pour ashes
upon himself.
And in that estate, he's calling upon God.
It is a posture of humility. When you deny yourself food, you go hungry, it humbles you. It pushes you into a state of humility. Because when you are fasting, all energy is gone. It is only then you see yourself, Father, have mercy. But when your stomach is full, you have energy. If you are fasting, you will not be able to If you are fasting, you feel dizzy, you are gone. So it humbles you. The psalmist says this. He said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. He said, a broken and a contrite heart, oh God, thou will not despise. Oh, praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we're just looking at one area where we activate blessings for our lives. One of it is fasting for humility, quite all right. But we're looking at one of them. There are many. We are facing Thanksgiving this week. Hallelujah. So I say, number one, it brings deliverance. Number two is Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So what is it to acknowledge God? To acknowledge God is to let him know that you are where you are today by his grace. To acknowledge him, hallelujah, is to give him praise. Thanksgiving is a way of acknowledging God. What are you acknowledging him? He says he will direct. When you do that, by thanksgiving, he says he will direct your path. That's why the psalmist says in Psalm 23, says, he leaded me. He leaded me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He says, he leaded me beside the still waters. What is it? The still waters here is it keeps you away from problems. Oh, glory be to God. When you acknowledge him, and I say one of the ways to acknowledge him is by thanking him. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. He says again, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Even your thoughts will be established. Amen. When you acknowledge God through thanksgiving. We saw in Luke chapter 17. If you read it from verse 11. Let's read it. Let's read it for the purpose of those who read their Bibles only on Sundays. Or they have read since they became Christian. They never read Luke 17 yet. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And fell down his face at his feet, giving him what? Giving him what? Thanks. 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 And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God save this stranger. And verse 19 is my emphasis here. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. That faith here is a revelation. Revelation, hallelujah. We learn here, use this scripture several times to emphasize this aspect. 10 of them were healed, 1 turned back. 10 of them were healed. The Bible said they were healed. So, but one of them came back and he said, thy faith has made thee whole. Was he not healed before? Was he among those that were healed? Which one is thy faith has made thee whole? By the Issachar anointing. By the spirit of revelation. We now know by that statement, it means whenever you receive any testimony from God, that testimony is temporary until you come back and thank God. You see why you keep having this struggle. Immediately you have a breakthrough, you are gone. You must come back to that God and give him thanks. Oh, praise God. It's a principle. It is only then that testimony becomes permanent. I just pray somebody can catch this. Always remember, amen. The Bible said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The Bible says so. To him that knoweth to do good and you don't do it, he said to you, that thing is sin. And if we dissect Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 and verse 16, he said, by him therefore, listen to the word here, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God sometimes, continually, not sometimes. That is the fruit of our lips, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Then he said, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for we such, including offering the sacrifices of the fruit of your lips, thanksgiving, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. And Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7, it says, when a man's ways please the Lord, what happens? He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Can't you see that praising God, we make God to be so pleasing that it will make, give you peace all around you. Even your enemies will be at peace with you. Praise the Lord. In Genesis chapter 33, we know the story. If you read it from verse 1, the story of Esau and Jacob. Jacob went and defrauded his brother of an everlasting and eternal possession. He collected the birthright. And Esau was out to kill him. Oh, glory be to God. Esau was out to kill him. But something happened. Amen. Hallelujah. He met with God. And stayed with God. And insisted for God to change his identity. Hallelujah. And he paid the price. He lost his identity. Hallelujah. He lost his former identity. All the pride he now had a broken leg. He was now walking by limping. Hallelujah. Nobody meets God and remains the same. If you meet God and there is no change in your life, in your perception of life generally, you are only a religious person. Oh, that's the truth. But you will notice that after he settled with God, and his identity changed from a supplanter, Jacob, to a priest with God, Israel. Hallelujah. Amen. Something happened. With all the fear. If you read that place, you just see how Jacob, the strong and smart man, as he saw Esau coming, the Bible says he went on his knees and was crawling to beg. He was crawling on his knees to beg. Please, don't kill me. Please. And you saw what happened. Esau, instead of attacking him, Esau embraced him. And there was peace. Amen. Somebody, all the battles you have been fighting with your enemies, all your neighbors, everyone after this week, because you understand what we are doing and you are living a life of praises and thanks to God, there will be peace all around you in the name of Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The kings before Solomon, It was battle. But there was something about Solomon. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. There was something about Solomon. The Bible recorded that for 40 years of his reign, there was no war. It was just peace. Why? We have a testimony of him in 1 Kings chapter 3. Let's also look at that. 1 Kings chapter 3. Let's read it from verse 3. It says, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king, Solomon now, went to Gibeon to sacrifice there." What did he go to do? To sacrifice there. "For that was the great high place." How many burnt offerings? 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. 1,000. This is after he was made king. He loved God. He wanted to show appreciation for what the Lord had done for him. Amen. "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.'" See? After he offered that sacrifice, God came to him. "Now ask. Now ask." Oh, glory be to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ask anything, 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 anything. You are saying, Solomon, it's not only Solomon, even men. On the birthday of Herod, Herodias' daughter danced so much and it pleased the king. The king also asked her, "Ask anything, anything. Even if it is half of my kingdom. If praises will move man like that, how much more God?" He asked Herodias' daughter, "Anything, anything." Oh, glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Anything is anything. And Solomon said, this was what he asked for: "Thou hast shown unto thy servant David, my servant, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, and thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child." Humility. "I know not how to go. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, and I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord. You see, the emphasis is, do something that will please God. Do something that God will look at you and say, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." Verse 10. "And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him," because I want you to note also that what he asked for was something that will progress the advancement of the kingdom. That will advance the progress of God's people. To judge them correctly. Wisdom was what he asked for. And it pleased God, because James was talking about why we ask and we don't receive. He said we ask because all the motive is for selfishness. Self, self, self. Sometimes you are asking for God to give you a car so that you will brag with it before people that you perceive to be your enemy. Sometimes you are looking for a particular type of blessing. It is so that you will show off. If you are praying to have something from God for show off, He will not answer you. Because it is going to produce pride, and God hates pride. Oh, that's the truth. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life. Can you see? Neither hast asked riches for thyself. He didn't ask for money. Nor hast asked the life of thy enemies. He didn't say, hey. Even me. If you say, ask anything, I will look at all the people that have troubled me this year. Father, clear all of them. From this statement, are we learning something? It is not pleasing before God. But has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Hey, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. But a greater than Solomon came. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ is greater than Solomon. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. You see, long life, promise him. Now verse 15 is also an emphasis I want to give here. And Solomon awoke. Listen, I will do this. It was a promise. I will do this. It was a dream. I want. There's something I want to bring out here. It was a dream. Okay. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings, and offered peace offerings, and made a feast to all his servants. Now watch. There are two offerings, sacrifices that Solomon made. Amen. One was the offering and the thanksgiving offerings. It was offering of thanksgiving, the sacrifices of 1,000 goats. 1,000. Listen, bride of Jesus Christ. That thanksgiving was for something that God has done. He's now a king. He was thanking God. In verse 15, it was a promise. In anticipation, there is an offering in anticipation of the fulfillment of the promise he has made. Oh, glory be to God. Two offerings here. The first offering is for what he has done. And the other offering is what he has promised to do. Amen. Thus said the Lord. I will give you the desire of your heart. Don't wait and start giving him promise. Father, if that promise that you promised me come to pass, Father, I will dance naked. Don't wait. Amen. Amen. Don't wait. If you are sure it is God that has spoken, the evidence that you believe that it is done is go and offer thanksgiving and an offering for that promise. Oh, if you understand. Oh, glory be to God. Can you see why your testimonies have been delayed? Can you see why those promises are not coming to pass? Despite all the prophecies you have received. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes, now. That is the principle. Our brother Daniel. That is operating. And even here, Daniel doesn't know. You cannot bribe God. You cannot bribe God. God has shown us. He does if he wants. The cattle in 1,000 hills are his. They are his. If you want to eat meat, he will not call you. He will not go beg you for meat. Everything the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But it's a principle. Prophet Daniel is a minister in our church here. And anytime there is a danger that is coming up, God will tell him, go. Your mother, they want to kill her. She's sick. I will heal her. Go and give me an offering. Or when he's about to give him a revelation, he will tell him, go and give me an offering. And then you'll be wondering, does God, why can't he just bless him? Why does he have to give offering first before he blesses him? It's a principle. And by now, Daniel is supposed to know. You don't have to wait until he tells you to give. He's only letting you know that is a principle he will be using to work with you. That's the truth. The benefit or the effect of thanksgiving. And of course, it's the benefit of thanksgiving. I've told you, shared this several times with you. Anytime I am sick, I have pray, the thing refused to go because I worship God by faith. I take any drug, take, the thing refused to go. I will just be anxious waiting for the next service. Why I wait for the next service is because, you know, of the atmosphere, nothing more. You don't have to wait until you go to a church service where they play instruments and they sing your favorite songs. You can play your tape in your house, play your musical video in your house, or what they call it, audio, video, whatever it is, pop favorite song. Once I come to church that day, because I love to sing, despite the pain, whatever it is, I will collect microphone. That day, people will not know why I am the one leading song. By the time I finish worshiping God, it has never failed. The sickness is gone. That's the power of offering the sacrifice of praise. Why is it a sacrifice? Because some of you won't even go to church because of that pain you are going through. But despite the pain, I go to worship him. That is what moves God. Despite the frustration, that is, you still go to worship God. That is, oh, glory be to God. Let nothing stop you from serving God, from performing your duty, from offering praise unto the Lord. Also, because worshiping God brings deliverance, it chases demons away. People don't know. Saul, the king, was running mad. Spirit of madness was on a king. When he starts, they will send for a musician, David. David will come with his harp and begin to play. Oh, glory be to God. Yeah. Hallelujah. He begin to play. Amen. And as he's playing those his wonderful psalms and singing those wonderful psalms, the demon will just walk and go away. That is the power of worshiping God. That is the power of worshiping God. Hallelujah. Me personally, I cannot preach. I cannot even pray for somebody, conduct a deliverance, until I can worship God a little bit. When I begin to worship God, that's why before I collect microphone, before I start to preach, for me to enter into the spirit, I praise my God first. That's why I love to sing. Because I know the effect it does in bringing down God. Oh yes. The prophet say, you want to hear from God? He say, play me a timbrel. Play. And bring down the presence of God. Praises bring down his presence. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praises also. Hallelujah. We send God to go and scatter your enemies. As you do, you give God. God cannot praise himself. Somebody was arguing with me. Somebody said, how can you say, is there anything God cannot do? How can you say God cannot praise himself? Praise God. And he sent me a text. I should stop making that statement. You have to understand the light with which I am saying. How can God praise himself? If God can praise himself, then why did he create the angels? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes, God cannot praise himself, but he can use even stones to give him praise. He can use trees to give him praise, but he must use something to give him praise.
Hallelujah. And when you give God what he cannot give himself, he will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Oh, glory be to God. That is the principle displayed by Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. That is what the nations, five nations gathered against him, small nation. And for God to take over the fight, see the battle plan, he put the musicians in front and the fighters, the soldiers behind. And as they were singing, oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. What were they singing? They were singing a serious, confessing a serious virtue of God. And that virtue is mercy.
For his mercies endure forever.
Pursuing you. Don't stand up and say, Holy Ghost fire, pursue them. Holy Ghost fire, pursue them. Wherever, never, never. It's not as powerful as
glory be to God in the highest. Amen.
Hallelujah.
In a room, nowhere to go out. They put you in a prison, even a physical prison, inside a police station, inside a prison yard, and you want those chains to be broken. Paul and Silas, they pray. After they pray, they sang. Hey, the Holy Ghost came back.
Paul and Silas.
They were not crumbling. By revelation, they were praising God inside prison. The next day, they are to be executed, they are to be killed. He's not speaking in tongue all night, giving praise. Hallelujah. The songwriter says, glorious in holiness and fearful in praise.
Full in praises.
Hallelujah. You want God to fight an enemy for you? Let me tell you a prophetic action you will do. Get the person's picture and place it. And lift up your hand before the Lord. Glorious in holiness and fearful in praise.
To
powerful than to carry Ken the beat picture. No, it's more powerful than to put candle and the red candle and green candle and you are burning it over the person. No. Hallelujah. Put the person's picture and praise God. When I say praise him, this is not praise. Hallelujah. Listen very well. I'm telling you, it's not only today. I'm telling you a principle for you to live a victorious life. Don't put a picture and say, Holy Ghost fire, pursue them, Holy Ghost fire. Is that praising him? Praise him, for his mercies endure forever. He makes a way where there is no way. Oh, tell him you are the God of Jehoshaphat. Hallelujah. Put his picture there. He has one attribute. He told his people, say, vengeance belong to me. Don't fight the battle. Put the battle down there. Face it. And look at it. Lift up your hand before the Lord. God of vengeance.
Fight all my enemies.
They point to the picture.
God of vengeance, fight all my enemies.
Oh,
those that say they never
you are reporting the matter to heaven. Hallelujah.
Those that say they cannot live to see me.
His name, write his name down. Write their names down. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. But it is a very, very powerful, it's a very dangerous prophetic action. No? It's a very powerful prophetic action. No? If now you the trouble those people, you are finished. Because he's a just God. If now you they wish them evil, if now you they plan against them, then you are using prophetic action, you are turning it out. This God knows all things, so he's a righteous judge, he's a just judge. So be very, very careful. As the power of praise, people don't know that there is a weapon that God has given us, power of praise. This praise, they don't know how powerful that thing is. More powerful than 10 days dry fasting. 1 hour praise is more powerful than going before the Lord in a 10-day dry fasting. No food, no water. I'm telling you something. Only the bride knows this. We are too precious to deal with God by fasting before we receive from him. We are called the bride. Oh, glory be to God. People don't catch that. We don't fast to receive anything from him. Hallelujah. We fast to consecrate ourselves so that we'll be pleasing before in the life that we live. It is not the fasting that makes you to be pleasing before God. The fasting puts you in a position to be pleasing before God. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. As the power of praise.